Oh my. Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. All right, we're all here, yes. If you've been here the past couple of weeks, you know that during the summer, the sermon time is shared with a pastor and shared with a church member. The sermon today will be one part lesson from Scripture. That'll be my part. It's about 2 hours long. And then, so open your Bibles to Revelation. We're going to go through the seven seals of Revelation today. No, one part me, I'll spend some time in Scripture drawing a lesson, and then we'll spend the next part of our sermon will be hearing a story from a church member. You already know who we're going to hear from today, Vanessa Mendez. The last couple of weeks, we've heard incredible stories from Pastor Vadim and from Mike Stubbs last week. So as we prepare to hear Vanessa's story, I've had a text in mind. I've been thinking of the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Towards the end of this letter, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say," oh, you are awake today. If you're a church person, the first time you learned this passage was actually in a song. Remember it? Three of you do. You know it. Rejoice. Did I give you the wrong note to start on? That was supposed to go way better. The way I thought this was going to go was going to be amazing. Rejoice. Beautiful. And if you remember, we split this up into 10 different parts. And by the end of it, it was crazy, noisy, and chaotic, but it was awesome. You want to do it? Who wants to do it? I do, and then we hear the story. Let's split them up. You guys will be the first ones rejoicing, and then you'll be the second ones. There's a third. Elvin, is there a third part? There's three parts, right? I don't know anything about music theory. I just remember there's at least three. Let's do it. You start on this note. Lucas, give us a note. Rejoice. Can't hear you. Good, good, yeah. Now you guys jump in. Oh, yeah. This is church now. You guys stop. You keep going. Yeah. I'm conducting now, yes. Now you guys drop out, right? Oh. You are so good. That is so good. Now you're ready for the word rejoice. Paul uses a Greek word. We translate rejoice, but in Greek, the word is charo. And the word charo has its roots in the word charis. The word charis actually is translated gift, which means that joy, the way Paul is using it, 16 times in the book of Philippians, by the way, means that Paul is connecting our sense of joy to gift. And so maybe if you've heard the word Eucharist, the word Eucharist means to give thanks for a gift. Maybe what Paul wants us to think about when he's saying rejoice is to give thanks for the gift of something, the gift of life, the gift of love, the gift of grace, the gift of people around us, the gift that we got up this morning, the gift that we're alive. See, the way we think about joy usually is connected, because I asked Google, is connected to happiness, well-being, a sense that everything is going right in the world, that the temperature is between 72 and 75 degrees, that Brazil didn't lose, Argentina, Uruguay, whatever. Don't check the score, Jesus is watching. Does anyone really care what happens between Croatia and Russia anyway? England's already won, so we can all relax. Levi, that's awesome. See, when we think of rejoice and joy, we think of the way Google told me today we should think about it, instead of the way Paul is telling us to think about it. What Paul is describing is a virtue, not a value of the world. What Paul is describing is a sense of real gratitude for the gift of everything around us. And Paul is writing these words from a prison, a dingy, dark, I imagine it, Roman prison, having been through great suffering and facing certain death, he's going to be executed soon. And in this moment, this condition, he has in mind to tell the people of Philippi, rejoice. Always rejoice. There's always something to be grateful for. So I'll leave you with this thought before we hear Vanessa's amazing story. Maybe joy is learning to discern that God is up to something, even in my situation. Maybe to rejoice, maybe to have joy in our hearts is to learn to discern that God is up to something no matter what our circumstances are. Maybe joy, rejoice, what Paul means is that we need to learn to perceive, it's a discipline to learn to perceive that the way the things run in the world sometimes is not connected to the way the kingdom interprets joy and happiness. Maybe as we think about Paul in that prison, facing death, hey, they took away everything that meant something to him. His life was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. His life was living his life out for Jesus, preaching the gospel good news. They threw him in a jail. He can no longer do that. So what does he do? He doesn't get angry, bitter. Instead, he goes, I'll just write letters and I'll talk to the guards about Jesus. Maybe rejoicing means that we are giving evidence of a specific kind of formation in our character. Maybe when we say rejoice or joy, use the word joy, we're talking about something that happens to a person that has come to understand Jesus alive in us, as Paul says to the Corinthians. Maybe the specific kind of formation that happens in a person that is joyful, regardless of their circumstance, is that they've come to know a greater sense of being in the world, a greater sense of the gift that it is to be alive. See, joy is not just for people who have had it easy. Joy is not just for people who have had everything go their way. Joy is not just for people whose kids are perfectly behaved. Joy is not just for people who have had every bill paid on time. Joy is not for people who have never had a doctor tell them you have a diagnosis that means bad news for you in the future. Joy is for people who are truly aware, people who have had their characters forged in the fires of suffering. They really understand what joy is. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. So today, we're going to talk with Vanessa. And the reason why I thought of this text is because from the moment I began talking to her about this, I have discovered a person that is thoroughly joyful, thoroughly in love with Jesus. So I'm going to do it. We're going to talk from where she usually sits and has been sitting since she joined this church. I'm going to walk over there, and you're all going to either turn and face her, or you're going to face the screens where she's going to be projected, her beautiful face, on the gigantic screens.
I would suggest the screen. You'll get my good side.
There we are in the dark. Hey, there we are. Hello. So Vanessa, this is your family. You're sitting next to them.
Of course.
Introduce us.
Joining me today is my mom, my little sister Valerie, my older brother Jonathan, and my dad.
Okay, and how old were you when your whole family joined this church?
I believe I was about 9 when we started coming to this church, but before then we were going to the Garden Grove Spanish church.
So you grew up in this church?
Basically, yes.
And you began sitting when you first arrived here in that transit.
Yes, over there, right? Over there in the corner.
And then eventually you moved over here.
Yes.
So if you've been attending this church for a while, 11:30, right? 11:30 service?
Yes.
You recognize Vanessa and her family sitting right here in this little corner. Vanessa, well, let's talk about why you're in a wheelchair.
Okay.
What can you tell us about them?
So my accident occurred on August 19th of 2003. And just a side note, we had been living here in Riverside already. It will be important for later. But so how the story began was that my parents both were working in Orange County, and you know, the long drive to come all the way here to Riverside, the traffic. So my mom's had suggested to my dad that we go to my grandma's house, that we stay there just, you know, just to eat and just until, you know, the traffic dies down. So on the way there to my grandma's house in Costa Mesa, my dad was having a trouble time finding a parking space, so he dropped my mom, me, and my brother in front of my grandma's house. My mom had first taken me up into the house, and I'd asked my grandma, you know, to take care of me. And of course, you know, when a child hears those words, "Hey, we're dropping you off, take care of her," you know, the child thinks, "Hey, I'm being left here. Parents are leaving. You gotta go before they go." So that's what I had thought. But my mom was actually just, you know, bringing my brother in. But at the time, I had thought, okay, they're leaving. So I went outside, you know, looking for my mom. My grandma was occupied with something else, so I'm not so sure what happened there. But I had gone into the street, and in an instant, it took me a while to register that at that time, there was a white truck over me, and I had been hit. And the last thing I remember from then was a lot of loud cries, you know, my parents panicking. But what my mom had told me is that when the paramedics had taken me into the hospital and the ER, they had told me that I had a high chance that I wasn't going to survive. But I can assure you that I did.
You did, and they called you Miracle Girl, right? That's been your nickname. So I'm gonna skip to the next. We have questions written out, but I can't think of them right now. So I'm gonna look at my Bible. The life in a wheelchair began when you were three then, right?
Yes.
And your home where you were growing up,
yes,
was not really wheelchair
friendly. Of course, it was a nightmare of a house for me.
So tell us about what happened to your home.
So just to give you guys an idea, the house, the mindset of my parents had when they were getting the house was that it was going to be a suitable home for a normal family. But after the accident, it was, you know, a complete mess. It was not wheelchair friendly. Outside in the front and backyard, it was just full of gravel, full of dirt. So I couldn't really move around outside. And the inside, it was worse because there was just a bunch of carpeting. Couldn't move around that much. And we had three small rooms and one small bathroom that I couldn't have full access in. I couldn't, you know, I had to go in, take a shower, do all the bathroom necessities. So, you know, after my mom has asked for so many prayers from our other church, from the family, she had looked and God had answered prayers when a company had came, and they had outdid our expectations of just fixing that one small bathroom. They ended up fixing that bathroom. They ended up remodeling all the three rooms. They had made a laundry room. They had made an entirely big bathroom for me to have access in. And it was just amazing. They had made a whole new room for me to have a lot more room. They took out the carpeting, put friendly tiles so I could be able to wheel myself around the house. And as well as the outside, the whole driveway was put with cement so I can also be able to go outside.
Wow. We've seen that show. It's called Extreme Home Makeover.
No. Right? I wasn't on there, though.
What a sweet, sweet gift you received, your family received. So your growing up has not been without struggles, too. You had some follow-up surgeries. Tell us some about that.
So some of the surgeries that I had had were, it was just only two, but after the accident, I had been diagnosed with spinal cord injury, and as you can see on the screen, this was before. I had developed scoliosis because of it, and it was awful, but they did the surgery for me, and they screwed in, you know, rods to keep my spine aligned for me to have, you know, a better posture. And this all had taken place in 2011. My other surgery was a bladder augmentation. The same thing with the scoliosis from the accident. My bladder hadn't developed fully after the accident. So they had said it would have been better to, you know, redo the bladder, make it bigger, because if not, I would be having a lot of, you know, infections later on if I didn't do the surgery. Mm. And this was done in 2014.
When was your last hospital stay?
My last hospital stay was in May of this year. I stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks, but that was because of the harsh back pain after the surgery for my back. And the reason they told me that I'm gonna have this constant pain is because the way I've been able to push myself, the way I had found out, you know, the best ways to be able to push myself, I had been, you know, wearing down my tendons. So it's a pain I'm gonna be having for the rest of my life, but I'm hoping that, you know, through having God in my life, I'm hoping that we can find a way, you know, so I don't have to have this pain.
Vanessa, tell us about, I think we talked about, we spent a couple moments on what it was like growing up in a wheelchair, school, how you did that, how you did some of your extracurricular stuff. Tell us about that.
So a normal school routine for me is that, you know, I would have a special aide with me to help me to my classes, that would help me with my books, that, you know, that would be with me during lunch to help me grab my food. And all in all, you know, it kind of felt weird, you know, I didn't feel like I fit in at times because of all the special needs that I had. But to be honest, you know, I'm glad that I had these experiences because I have learned that, you know, with all these struggles and not being able to fit in, that I can do anything that I put my mind to. Even though I have to do it in a different way, you know, I can still do it like every normal person. Here, you can see on the screen, my mom had put me in cheerleading classes for 2 years, and it was an amazing experience because the teachers had accommodated all the routines for me to be able to do. They had included me in all the parades, everything.
So this is you cheerleading at Disney?
Yes, this was a few days before we had gone to Disneyland to do the parade for Christmas. And it was just, you know, an amazing experience, especially for like a little girl like me, you know, it was just everything.
Well, the next time we're together here in church, you're going to have to do a routine for us, okay?
That was years ago. I don't remember.
Okay. It'll come back to you.
Maybe. I'm going to have to watch old tapes.
Hey, can you tell us about what your support has been?
So the support has mainly been with my family. You know, they would try to incorporate me in everything that they can. If, you know, if I wanted to go to the beach, they would find, you know, a way to get a special wheelchair for me, to be on the sand, to be close to the water. You know, anything and everything I wanted to do, my parents would be there supporting me, having my back, you know, being able to find a way we can do all of these things. The same is it with for my friends as well. They are amazing people. Like last few weeks, we had gone to a trip to Disneyland, and that's for my school. And my friends, they would have not gone on any single ride without me. They would be there with me, being able to, you know, enjoy the activities with me. They wouldn't want me to be left out. And the same goes for my teachers, because my teachers in high school have been there with me since the beginning. You know, they have been there, you know, pushing me, telling me that I have a lot more potential than I thought I would have. You know, they kept pushing me, they kept saying that I am going to do good things in this world.
You are. You graduated from high school, we heard that.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to adulthood.
I know.
What do you plan on doing?
So, in high school, in the first year, I started taking art classes. And that's when I realized that art really did click for me, and it did become, you know, an output for me, you know, an outlet where I can, you know, express myself. And throughout all of high school, that's all I've been wanting to focus on. I want to be doing graphic art design, illustration, want to be able to do children's books. You know, I want, you know, little kids, you know, people of all ages to be immersed in all that I want to express myself in. I want them to see what I can create, you know, allow them to see that any person, you know, can do all these things, no matter what the situation may be.
Yes, you're a great example of that. You know that.
Thank you.
The last thing we decided you were going to tell us or talk about is a message to this church, a message to your community, your church community. What would you like your church to know?
Sorry.
That's all right. It's just little gerbils that live inside the the speakers.
They really want to come out. So what I would like to leave, you know, the church with, and for the people at home, is that what to take away is that putting your life in God's hands has so many gracious outcomes, that no matter if you're physically disabled or mentally challenged, or if you are just perfectly fine overall, you all have a purpose in life, so keep on striving. There is no limit to what God's work can do for you. You just have to keep on believing and praying that good will come to you in the times that are needed.
Oh, Vanessa. Is that not good, church? Is that not good? Vanessa, you inspire us.
Thank you. I hope I do.
You do. And I hope you keep inspiring us, not just through your art, but also through your attitude, your joyfulness. I think we can walk away from church today knowing that the message of Paul is true, that you have found joy, the virtue of joy, not fleeting happiness, but joy.
Yes.
And I pray that God will continue to use you to inspire others.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.